Good morning, and welcome to According to the Scriptures. My name is Kyle Webb, and I serve as the minister for the Mars Hill Church of Christ that meets in Christiana, Tennessee. And we thank you for joining our program today. Our program today is entitled, Like All the Nations. When we look at God's people, Israel, we see a people that wanted to be like the nations around them constantly. We see many great problems that occurred because of their desire to be like all of the others. We're going to look at some scriptures that regard their desire and some of the things that happened to them because of their desire. But before we get into our lesson for today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege that we have to study your word, to learn from it, to see the things that we can do differently, some of the things that we can do the same, so that we can be what you want us to be. But help us overall to learn the lessons that we need to learn. We thank you for our time together. We pray, Father, that you would bless us as we go throughout our lives. Help us to apply these lessons to them. Help us live in accordance with your will. And we thank you for your Son, the one that you gave to die on the cross for our sins. And it is through Jesus that we pray. Amen. I want us to begin our study today in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, we see that in giving the law, that God foresees and foretells that his people will want to be like other nations. Now, we see in several places where Israel is recognized by how powerful their God is. We're going to look at a passage later where they're seen differently. But in this time, they've overcome Egypt. They have come out of bondage. And God is leading this people. And he's giving them the law. And in giving them the law, he predicts their desire to be like other nations in the future. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 14. It says, when you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now as we look at what is said here, this is in prediction of their desire for a king. And God sets forth a law for this future king. Now, as we go on from here, we read in the book of Joshua and Judges how God takes care of his people. He leads his people through these different leaders, but they are not kings. They are judges. And even so, Israel has a great reputation as being led by God. Before all the other nations, they are feared because they know, these other nations know that God is on their side. But now it's predicted here that will not always be, that the people will desire someone to stand before them, to rule as a king, and it comes to pass. But when it does, God sets forth precedents for this king. He is not to multiply horses for himself. You know, often we're told that Israel was not to use horses in battle. Do you know why? Because if they used horses, if they used these mighty steeds in battle, it would be much easier for them to say, I did this on my own. When they didn't have these things to make it easier, they could see easier God on their side. It says that he shall, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Remember Solomon, what did he do? He had a great number of wives and concubines, 1,000 women. And they led him away. He was a very wise king. He had asked for wisdom from the beginning of his rule, but his wives led him away because he did not follow God's command. So God gives warning that this will happen. When it does, he gives precedence for these kings and what they are to do. But here we see that Israel will desire to be like all the other nations around them. Now turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And here we read in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that the people want a king. What was predicted by God in the book of Deuteronomy is now coming to pass in 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Now Samuel could have gotten mad. He was angered by what they said. But he had the right reaction because he didn't keep it within himself and he did not try to handle it himself. He did not lash out on the people immediately, but he turned to God in prayer. And so it says that he prayed to the Lord. And in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. In verse 10, says that Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants, and you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, verse 19, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Every man go to his city." We see that first king was Saul. We see that all these things that Samuel told them about came to pass. Now, looking back and looking at the reputation that Israel had before all the other nations feared them because they had God on their side, because he fought their battles. But now they wanted to be like all the other nations. They saw what the other nations had, and they desired to be like them. And so they wanted a king. Now, as I look at this description of a king, it looks as if most of the people would be going to serve the king in some way or another. And I don't see why they would desire a king. But I'm sure their vision was very short-sighted. They saw the immediate present in front of them. They saw what was, and they desired more. They did not see the problems that would come with having a king, instead of relying on God as they had. And because they could not see the problems, this is what they wanted. Now we see problems that come later because of these kings. One of the greatest problems was idolatry that came in the time of Jeroboam and plagued the people basically throughout the rest of their history. Because instead of trusting God and worshiping God, they desired to be like all the other nations, and so they had idols that were set up and things of that nature. Jeroboam began this by setting different places for them to worship so they would not have to all go to Jerusalem. He wanted to make worship convenient for them, and he basically began this idolatrous worship. And I'm sure it had come through different ways before this as well. There were other ways that he was influenced also, but he was one of the main instigators of idolatrous worship, and it was very difficult to get rid of from that point on because he as a king had set that before the people. But we see one of the great problems that happens because of this idolatrous worship that goes back to the days of King Jeroboam over Israel. Turn with me to 2 Kings in chapter 17. We'll begin reading at verse 5. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 5. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land, and went up to Samaria, and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, and carried Israel away to Assyria, and placed them in Hala, and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. They had not been afraid of them, but they had respected other gods other than the God of Israel and the God of Judah, other than the God that they should have been serving all along. They feared these other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them, and they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets, every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and 2 calves, made a wooden image, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them from his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. for the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day, to the day of this writing. And we see that Assyria later resettles Samaria, but it's never like it once was. Samaria was rejected by the Jews as one of their places and one of their as part of their people, because even though it had been resettled, it was resettled by a people that did not remember God. They did not know how to serve Him. So we see that Samaria was greatly affected by this idolatrous worship, but all of this comes about because, again, the people want to be like all the other nations. Samaria is never the same. Even we see in the New Testament that it is not the same. It's not until the book of Acts that Christianity is carried to the people of Samaria. As a matter of fact, Jesus had told his disciples not to go to Samaria. Very seldom do we ever find them in or around that city. And when we do find Jesus in the city of Samaria, he speaks to a woman at a well in regard to worship. Something that she did not completely understand. This people, they were rejected by the Jews. The story of the Good Samaritan comes about because people hated Samaritans, because they were a mixed race of people. Samaria was never the same. And partly because people wanted to be like all the other nations. We read one final passage in the book of Ezekiel about this people wanting to be like the other nations. It's a proclamation against Moab, and something that Moab falls because of how they view God's people. But in Ezekiel chapter 25, beginning with verse 8, we read this. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir say, look, the house of Judah is like all the nations. Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities. Of the cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshimoth, Baal Meon, and Kirjathaim. To the men of the east I will give it as a possession, together with the Ammonites, that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Why did the Moabites see Israel as being like all the other nations? Because they acted like them. Now, the whole point of this portion of Scripture is that Moab looked at Israel and they thought because God had allowed them to be taken captive and had allowed all these great things to happen to them, big things, things that were negative in nature. But because he had allowed this punishment of his people, that God himself was just like all the other gods of the nations also. And that certainly was not true. And God was going to prove that to the people of Moab by destroying what they treasured. But this whole view came about. Why? Well, because the people acted like the people of other nations. And because they acted like them, it showed the other nations that maybe God was like all the other gods. Powerless. God was not powerless, and he showed that. Israel was not completely destroyed because there was still a remnant that followed God, that tried to do his will, and he tried to lead them through his prophets. But God was not powerless. But we see the effects of a nation that desired to be like all the others around them. You know, so often today, we look around us and we want to be like other people. We want to be like the world. We want to be carefree and be able to do anything that we want to do while waste our time serving God. God shows us that being like other people is not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes in the church, we want to be like the denominations around us. That is not what God desires. God wants us to be a peculiar people, different than the world, living in the world but not of the world. He wants us to be salt and light. He wants us to lead people by our example to him. But we as Christians cannot desire to be like nations or denominations around us. We must be what God wants us to be. In our worship and our obedience, we cannot change God's word. We are simply to follow it. So I hope that we don't want to be like all those around us. I hope that we see the dangers of doing so. But I hope that we want to be Christians the way that God wants us to be his people. Join us again next week, Tuesday at 10 a.m. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again with another lesson from God's Word. And I thank you for joining us today. Until we meet again, may God bless.